Welcome to the Mind-Muscle Connection Podcast, a show that is dedicated to educating you on applying science-based training, nutrition, and mindset strategies from some of the top minds in the industry to help you build a leaner, stronger, and more confident self. I'm your host, Jeff Hain. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Mind Muscle Connection Podcast. Today is a solo episode. I want to go over two topics that I find interesting, and let's dive into it. So the first one is what you need to focus on to build muscle after the beginner gains. So, you know, when you first start lifting weights, anything and everything is going to work, right? You just need to show up consistently and you're going to build muscle. But I'm sure you've all been there. You're probably there now. It starts to slow down. You find that it's much tougher to put on muscle. And this is where a lot of people give up and don't really reap the benefits of building muscle and improving their physique. It's just, oh, it's slower. All right, well, this sucks. We move on to something else now. We like to see quick feedback, and building muscle is far from quick. It's definitely a very slow process. I've posted about this a lot lately, but the big problem here is that your body finds any muscle pass. Really what you do for everyday activities, pretty much useless unless you give it a reason to need it. Muscle costs a lot of energy to maintain and build. Obviously, like I've talked about again in the last couple episodes, this is really helpful in today's world, but it wasn't helpful in the world that we evolved in. So we have to give the body reason to maintain and build muscle. But let's say again, you're at that point where you have those initial beginner gains, literally everything you did worked, and now you're just kind of frustrated, like you're spinning your wheels. Just showing up isn't going to do it anymore. What are some things that we really need to focus on? And so here's things that I focus on in my training and with online clients to help us build more muscle. So the first thing is going to be tracking your workouts. This really amazes me how many people don't track their workouts. If this is you, expect to see really very small returns on your investment of lifting weights. I can't understand how people don't track. And you know what? I've been there at 1.2, right? I didn't think it was important. Just go and be like, what am I going to hit today? I'm just going to make sure I just do a lot and that will be sufficient, right? But again, at some point that's not enough. You have to start to use progressive overload. You have to start to, you have to overload over time. And I made this post today, if you're not ever pushing yourself, you're going to be leaving the results on the table. And if we're not tracking, I feel like you can leave results on the table because we like to be comfortable. Our brain likes to be comfortable. And it's just easy. Same thing with eating, right? People think that, I'll just intuitively eat. But it's like, again, your body likes to be comfortable. So you have to always like force yourself. And if you're not doing that, and I don't mean force eat or restrict yourself, but you do have to push past where your body is comfortable. Like, same thing with the workouts. If you don't ever track and you just are like, I'm just going to try to do more next time. And without knowing what you need to do, I guarantee you're going to be leaving stuff on the table. Progress. And so again, we've talked about, so in order to build more muscle, you need to overload the muscle over time. This has been coined progressive overload. It doesn't have to be just more weight. You can overload multiple ways. It can be more weight, more reps, more sets, better technique. There are just a few, but this is probably the best for building the muscle, aka muscle hypertrophy. Again, like I just talked about a little bit ago, if you aren't tracking, you're not going to remember what you did last week, even if you think you have a good memory. Tracking has helped me push through a few reps that I know I would have otherwise not gotten. A few that I can think of are things with the legs. Like, I know for sure I would have stopped way short of what I could do with legs. And really, even when the weight gets heavy, it's easy to be like, this sucks. This is all I could do. But, hey, last week I got six. All right, I got to get seven reps this week. Whereas, if you're not tracking, you may have stopped at five just because that's where it really starts to feel, where it starts to get challenging. And you think, it's challenging, so that's all I need to do. But track your exercises, reps, sets, and weight. Taking form videos can also be helpful. I have clients track through True Coach. You can do a notebook, whatever is easiest for you. So another thing you need to do is you need to find exercises that fit you. In the beginning, the basics were probably enough, but now you need to start figuring out what exercises fit you best. Too many people get married to certain exercises because they worked at one time, or these are perceived as like muscle building exercises. The one that I always bring up or like squats, right? Like, you have to do squats. Well, if you're trying to grow your quads and it doesn't really hit your quads, is that really the best exercise for you? Okay, so over time, we need to start to find exercises that fit us. And again, some exercises just don't work well with certain body types. Or some people just hate certain exercises, and that's okay. Again, I don't really like squats. So I'm trying to find things that hit my quads without having to do a back squat. After a while, you're just going to have to start to find, once you train for a while, you're just going to have to start to find exercises that fit you best. Again, this is probably going to change over time too. So just because it works well for you now doesn't mean it's always going to do that. But really, you do this by staying consistent with your training. You can weed out the bad ones and keep in the good ones by consistently doing it. One caveat here, if you try an exercise once and it doesn't feel great, give it another shot for 3 to 4 weeks. If it still feels like crap after 3 or 4 weeks, it probably isn't the best exercise for you. So don't try an exercise once, be like, this sucks, and then drop it. You know, give it a couple weeks. It takes your body time to really dial it in. And another thing on this is where a lot of people get themselves in trouble. They switch up the exercises that they do too often. And then, you know, you don't really find those exercises that fit you best, nor do you find the technique that works best for you. The next thing is intensity. You don't have to go to failure every set. You can't breeze through every single workout feeling like you didn't do anything. At some point, you're going to have to push yourself in your training. If every workout feels easy, you're going to be leaving results on the table. In the beginning, you can really get away with less intense training because your body's just super sensitive to muscle growth. So really, anything you do is going to be more than what you've done before. So you can get away with less intense training. But eventually, you're going to have to push it. Again, this doesn't mean every workout needs to be super intense, but I think it's good every once in a while to really push yourself in your training. Episodes 56 with Dr. Mike Isertel, we dove into reps in reserve and how you can use that to make sure your training intensity is where it needs to be. I love RIR. If you don't know what it is, I highly suggest you go look at that episode. But for those of you that do know what it is, you know, it's a great tool to use to just make sure your training intensity is, you know, you're not too far away from failure, but you're also not going to failure every single time. So again, it's just a tool in the toolbox there to make sure that our intensity is good. So this is a big one, though. You have to train with intensity. Now, I just got off a podcast with Lindsay Parker, aka Lifting Lindsay, and we kind of talked about this with the intensity thing. You know, you know, the main goal of building muscle is when you're building muscle, you're going to have to push, right? Now, guys get themselves, men in particular, get themselves in trouble where they probably train too intensely sometimes, where they're just doing like their form is just straight dog crap just so they can lift more weights. But then on the other side of the equation, you have females who their form is great, but they also don't train intense enough. So you know, we need to find that fine line there with it. But really, you can't go into every single session and always feel like you're not training hard. You know, I like to work in accumulation phases. And so I like to work in like 1 to 6 week, or not 1 to 6, about 4 to 6 week training phases for hypertrophy. And week one's a little bit easier. And then from there, you start to increase your intensity each week. And then that last week, you're just really pushing it, right? And that's a great way to moderate your intensity there. Next, we have recovery strategies. You know, now is a time where you need to start implementing deloads, focusing more on sleep, managing your stress. Going hard 24/7 isn't going to build you muscle anymore. You know, I just talked about how you need to push it at some point, but now I'm saying you shouldn't go hard 24/7. So again, we need to find that middle ground. But what I mean is when you overload and push yourself, your body gets fatigued. This fatigue is going to add up over time. Too high fatigue levels is going to lower training performance and increase injury risk. You know, so therefore we need to find ways to lower that fatigue when we can. You know, just like we talked about, some people never push themselves, but then you have some people who only know how to push themselves and they end up being under recovered. You know, think of the people that train 7 days a week, go hard for a bit, then they end up injured or burnt out from training. If you're not taking these deload weeks or focusing on your sleep or stress or making sure you're eating enough, like you're going to be leaving results on the table. Just because, and Brandon DeCruz talks about this, we can only grow from what we can recover from. So if you're overdoing it, you're not recovering from it, you're essentially just doing extra than what you need to be doing. So this side gets, or this part of training gets overlooked, but it's so important. Next, we have protein. You're going to have to get protein in. low protein is going to hurt your progress at really any stage. But after those initial gains, if you're still eating low protein, you pretty much can kiss building more muscle goodbye. It's a muscle building killer. A lot of people don't focus too much on nutrition when they get started, and that's fine, as you could probably get away with this in the beginning. Again, just, you know, it's going to help. Obviously, it's going to really help to focus on your nutrition when you get started. But really, you can just go and lift weights, and you're going to see progress just because, again, your body's super sensitive to muscle growth. But the, you know, if you don't focus on nutrition, the quicker that's, you're going to run out of that, right? If you can focus on nutrition right away, and I think you can extend those beginner gains longer. And again, this, you know, you don't have to, like, this doesn't mean tracking macros or whatever, just focusing on nutrition a little bit more, figuring out what fuels you, you know, obviously making sure you're getting in plenty of protein, things like that. But if you're passive beginner gains and you look at your nutrition and you don't ever focus on protein, I guarantee you, you're under eating protein. But like I talked about throughout, if you don't give your body reason to build more muscle, it's not going to. Not eating enough protein is definitely a sure sign that's going to happen at some point. Ideally, we aim for about 0.8 to 1 gram per pound of body weight in protein. So it's not that going over that is bad, but that's just, it's not going to do much more for you. And those are calories that you can use towards tastier options. Another big mistake is, not mistake, but one thing you're going to have to really focus on is eating enough regularly. In the beginning, your body's primed for muscle growth. You can get away with a deficit or maintenance, but eventually you're going to need at least a small calorie surplus to build muscle. I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but again, your body needs a reason to build more muscle. Not taking in enough, not getting enough food is a great reason for it to not build muscle. It's going to prioritize other important functions over building muscle if you don't give it enough calories. I love this analogy. Basically, it's like, you know, you need, basically you have the people to build a skyscraper, but then you don't have the parts that you need to do it. That's basically what you're doing with when you're not, or you can take it the other way. You have the pieces, but you don't have the people to build it, right? That may be a better one. You have the pieces, right? The training, but then you don't have the people to build it. But probably the biggest reason why people don't put on the amount of muscle they want, slash should, is because they just simply undereat all the time. You know, this, you see a lot of people think they are hard gainers, but really they're just not eating enough consistently. What you see here a lot of times is people will eat like a large meal or have a day where they do eat a lot, and then the next 3 days they don't eat as much because, again, they're not tracking. They're just kind of going off how they feel. And when you do that, when you overeat one day, Your body actually really does a good job of trying to keep you comfortable where it's at. And especially if you're somebody who struggled to put on weight in the past and you're very active, like, it's going to be a challenge for you to do that. So again, eating enough regularly is just so important. This is something that people don't do enough. You know, let's think of people who want to be more toned, but they also don't have the shape they want because they are scared to gain any amount of weight. You know, any weight gain scares them away. They just want to, they hear weight gain and they run as far away as possible. And therefore those people don't eat enough regularly. And so it's going to be hard for them to build muscle and get that to the look that they want. So it's super important that you eat enough regularly. Lastly, patience. You've got to have patience. The beginner gains are great, but they can put you in the mindset that building muscle comes quick and easy, and it doesn't. If you don't have the patience, building muscle is going to be tough. Really need patience for any of this, for any fitness-related thing, but especially building muscle. Lack of patience has killed more physiques than you can imagine. Again, building muscle takes time and patience. You can't rush the process. You know, hopefully after listening to this, you're able to take your next step with your training to build muscle. I always tell people this, you don't have to do all these, but it's a good idea to focus on at least a few of them. You know, if you're not tracking your workouts, you know, that's a good place to start. That's going to really be helpful. Maybe you pair one training thing with one nutrition thing. So maybe for you, it's, okay, I'm going to track workouts. And because now you're tracking your workouts, you're going to start to push yourself. You're going to start to use progressive overload. So then your intensity is going to go up. So you hit your intensity, right? And then over time, you're going to find because you, and then you stay consistent with that, then you're going to start to find exercises that really fit you best. Right. And then maybe you decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to focus more on protein. And then you start to get more protein, and then you realize, oh crap, I go long periods of time without eating. So then you start to eat regularly enough, you know, so they, all these things kind of compound. If you just start working on one, so pick one. Again, if you're doing none of these, I would pick tracking your workouts and making sure you're getting enough protein. And I think those are going to be your two biggest things here that you can work on to really start to see progress. Like I said, if you start tracking, you know, I would say intensity would be up there, but if you start tracking your workouts and you see what you're doing, I mean, eventually you're going to get to a point where it starts to become intense, right? Whereas if you just go straight into intensity, I feel like you could overdo it, especially if you're not tracking your workouts. So I think tracking your workouts should be the first thing you do training wise from this list. And then making sure you're getting enough protein, I think, is the next one. Cool. So the next thing I want to go over is just my thoughts on low calorie diets. You know, a common thing you'll see within the fitness nutrition realm is you should never go below insert caloric amount. You know, it's usually like 1600 for men, 1200 for females, you know, but how accurate is that? Like, can you do that? So here, I'm just going to give you my thoughts on it. So in this field, you know, people tend to view things as either good or bad. You know, like I talked about, so for the caloric amount for males, females, you know, the 1200 calories for females, 1600, and really this can be any number, like, but these are the ones that seem to get thrown around. And in this example, people think that anything underneath that is bad, or you're there and you should never go below these numbers at all costs, right? But this is a blanket statement, and how much someone should slash needs to eat for fat loss is going to be very individual. Okay. So it's, I don't think it's great to just make a blanket statement like somebody shouldn't ever go that low. Now, saying that, for most people, going below these caloric amounts is actually not needed for fat loss. But you know, some people, in order to get to a certain body composition, they might have to get this low. You know, if you have some goal that you want to get a shredded six pack, like, you might have to get this low for a period of time to get that six pack. And so this is where, you know, a lot of people get stuck where it's like, oh, well, I don't want to go that low. Okay, well, you can't expect to have abs. And it's, you know, this is where seeing what it takes to reach your goals, I think, is super important, because sometimes we realize that what we want isn't exactly what we want to work for. And you obviously have to take that into consideration. Now, in saying that, you do have some people that can get away with a lot more calories and lose weight. Okay. So this is really a genetic thing here with this. For example, someone who is at the same body weight may be able to lose weight on 2200 calories per day, whereas someone that's, again, at the same body weight struggles to lose weight at 1500 calories per day. Activity definitely plays a role in this, but other than that, you can really just link genetics there. So again, let's say that they're same body weight, and you have one guy who can lose weight on 2200 calories, right? But then one guy, he's eating 2200 calories and his weight's just not going down like he wants. Well, I mean, really, then at that point, he's not in a calorie deficit. So you need to find ways to get him into a calorie deficit, whether that be through increasing activity or decreasing calories. And you know, maybe you drop it down to 2000, still not doing it. Okay, what's going on here? Okay, 1800. You know, 2200 to 1500 is a big example, but I just want to make it known that, you know, that theoretically could be a thing for somebody. So again, we don't want to take what someone else's calories are and try to think that they're going to be the same for us, because that's just not true. And here's the other kicker on this. People that seek out coaching probably don't have great genetics for losing body fat. Again, the people that are struggling are probably the ones that they have poor genetics for fat loss. So you're probably going to see people that are reaching out for help are probably going to be the ones that are closer to that 1500. So let's say you are somebody that, you know, you didn't win the genetic lottery and you have to go below these amounts for fat loss. Can you do it? Yes. But first you need to ask yourself if the body composition goal is worth it. Because, you know, this just isn't a lot of food, right? Let's say, for example, it is a male, 1500 calories. I mean, that's not a lot of food, right? And so you're going to have some gnarly hunger that comes with it, and you're going to have some diet fatigue that comes along with it. So you have to be okay with these things. However, you know, there's probably some things that you can focus on here if this is you, right? Say you do need to go super low calorie diet. don't be this low calorie for more than 8 to 16 weeks at a time. Make sure you're eating high protein, at least 1 gram per pound of body weight. You're going to want to limit calorie dense, highly palatable foods. That's going to make it super easy to overeat, right? You want to stay active. Ideally, you do this through a step tracker. And then lastly, you do want to make sure you're lifting weights. So, you know, if you are a female that needs to go under 1200 or a male that needs to go under 1600, these are the things you need to focus on. Now, to go off this, I also don't put a lot of stock into how many calories someone says they eat anyways. And this is because we just suck at tracking accurately. We're just not good at it, right? And there can also be a 20% margin of error in terms of how many calories are actually in the food versus what's on the food label. Okay, so not only do we suck at tracking, but there's also a 20% error, put up to a 20% error in the caloric amount that's actually in it. So just because somebody on their MyFitnessPal says they're eating 1,500 calories, I don't really think they're actually eating 1,500 calories. Again, this isn't to say that like you're bad or anything, or you're lying. It's just, look, it's just easy to overlook things when tracking because, you know, we suck. And again, there's that margin of error there. So this is why in combination, we're also tracking things like their mood, energy levels. For females, we're making sure they're maintaining their cycle. We're looking at hunger levels, training performance. We just want to make sure these things aren't terrible because, say, again, somebody does say they're eating 1,200 calories. If these things are fine and they're losing weight on 1,200 calories, then okay, again, maybe they're not actually eating 1,200 calories. Maybe they're actually eating 1,500. But again, all this data is coming back. All this biofeedback is coming back. It's good. Then obviously we can keep rolling with it. Okay, it becomes an issue when, okay, say they are eating 1,200 calories and then their moods sucks, their energy levels are in the shitter. Training performance sucks. Like, okay, now it's like we have to start looking into this and probably getting you out of this deficit. So again, if someone is tracking and saying they're eating 1,200 calories, do you really know they are? Probably not. But that's why it's important to track these other things. This is why with clients, we just want to get data. Okay, we want to see where they're at. So again, if say I have a male who says they're eating 1,600 calories, but really they're eating 2,500. If their goal is fat loss and they're seeing their weight trend down and all these things are good, then that's what our baseline is. Now, you know, I think this is why it's important to, and this is me going on a side rant here, but this is why it's important to, when you're in a fat loss phase, it's a good idea to really stay consistent with what you're eating, right? If you're changing things up all the time, this can make this really complicated. So again, I think this is where eating the same things over and over can be very beneficial. So anyways, just to sum this up, if you have a certain body comp goal, you may have to go lower with calories than what you want slash what is generally recommended. If you're okay with the challenges that will arise slash the trade-offs, by all means, you know, go for it. I would highly recommend working with a professional on this though, just to make sure you're not overlooking anything or doing anything that's just drastic, right? Second, I would not go straight into these low numbers when dieting for fat loss. It's better to start higher, see your progress over a few weeks, and if they stall, then we'll get decreasing calories slightly or increasing activity slightly. Third, even though a lot of people say they're eating 1,200 calories, chances are they're not. They're probably eating more than that. Not because they're lying, but because there is a 20% margin of error on food labels, and there are just a lot of sneaky calories out there. It's just so easy to miss them. So that's really my thoughts on low-calorie diets. Again, you shouldn't do it long-term. It can be a short-term thing that you do. But again, pay attention to those biofeedback markers that I talked about. But just realize that just saying that a certain calorie number is bad, I think, is just kind of flawed. So that's my thoughts on it. That's it for today. If you have any questions, let me know. It's day before Thanksgiving. This will come out the day after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. But when you listen to this, I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll chat soon.
Thank you for listening. If you want more free content like this, follow me on Instagram at jeffh91_ or visit jhhealth.net. See you next time.